Leadership, it's more than just a title. It's a journey shaped by decisions, fueled by experiences, and defined by stories. And some of the most powerful stories are the ones you haven't heard just yet. The stories are real, insights game-changing, and the leaders, they're right here. I'm excited. Welcome to Leadership Unscripted. Today, I'm happy to host Mr. Sudipta Roy, MD and CEO at L&T Finance.
Welcome, Mr. Roy.
Thank you so much,
Sudipta, for spending time with us.
Thank you.
And thank you for giving us the opportunity to delve into what makes Sudipta tick. How do you sort of start your day? Any particular habits that you have as you sort of start your day today?
The first thing that I do is even before I get out of bed, I check how well I have slept last night. So I sleep with my Apple Watch. So I track my sleep every day in the morning.
Okay.
Right. And so that's the first thing that I do, even if I get out of bed. Typically, I'm in office. I try to be in office between 8:45 to 9. So, that's when the day starts. It's a little good to hit the office a little early because you
tend to catch up
on your emails before other people come in.
Yeah.
Right. So you get that 45-minute window to catch up and clear your emails and sort of gather your thoughts for the meetings of the day. Typically, most of the days, my meetings start from 9 a.m. in the morning.
Got it. You sleep well?
I really didn't realize, but for about 4 or 5 years, I really struggled with sleep.
Mm.
And, while I was doing this, I recommend everyone to read this book.
Mm.
This book is called Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. Right? He's probably one of the world's most preeminent sleep scientists.
Wow.
Right? And what we don't realize is that sleep is the best form of exercise. So after that, I'm very, very careful about my sleep. And I just make sure that I get that 6.5 to 7 hours no matter what comes.
I know of your hobby and your the time you spend, but I really want the viewers to know a lot more about your passion towards wildlife photography. Given you are from IIT, I thought that was a young Farhan Qureshi of the 3 weeks in the making. But tell us about your passion.
Yeah, so it's been about, I would guess, about 15 years now. Been investing majority of my free time, right, and in sort of learning the craft. Photography as a craft is extremely complex. It's a very complex science, and wildlife photography as a genre is probably the most difficult genre of photography because your subject is not in your control, right? And there have been instances in 2019, I sat for 5 hours in 40 degree centigrade sun, right, from about 1:30 p.m. to about 6:30 p.m. 5 hours nonstop, right, for one particular shot.
Do you think you bring a lot of this to work? Patience, persistence?
Yeah, so, some part of that comes to work. The first is that focus and persistence.
Yeah.
One of the things which I'm very, very focused on is that, again, when you're doing photography and when you're tracking, for example, a tiger, you're very focused on the task, right? And you probably will spend next 2 hours, even if the tiger is walking, it's walking, going and sitting, being a thicket, at a bush, right? And, you're standing there, waiting for it to move, right? So it's bursts of action followed by long bursts of pause.
Yeah.
Right? But that teaches you patience, that teaches you to remain focused on the task in spite of the hiatuses in between.
Yeah.
So in a way, a part of that comes to work where, we are very, very focused on what we do. But at the end of the day, we also have to be patient because sometimes good things take time to, fructify. Right? So and I'll give you a small example. When we started building our new sort of we build a fantastic new software in-house. We call it Cyclops. It's our new 3D credit engine, probably one of its kind in the country now.
Yeah.
Gave the team about 4 months to build. And the team actually delivered in 4 months. But the time from that we started scaling up, the scaling up took a lot of time.
No, I think a lot of younger folks need to listen to this about being patient, which is where...
You have to be patient. You know, patience is one of the big unsung virtues of leadership.
Right.
Right. It's not instant coffee.
Yeah.
Results are not instant coffee.
Yeah.
Organization transformation is not instant coffee.
Yeah.
Right. People development does not happen overnight. Yeah. Right? It's a gradual, slow process.
Yeah.
So leaders have to be patient.
Yeah. Still keeping the focus on the end result.
That's right.
Absolutely. So Dipta, if you walk back through your journey, you know, you spent between Citi and Deutsche Bank, you spent 10 years, you know, 12 plus years at ICICI. I think if you reflect back on this journey and where you are today, what do you reflect on a couple of incidents or learnings that make you who you are today?
I started my career with FMCG. What FMCG rips away is your ego. And I'll give you a story. So I was in Colgate and about 5 days in, or 5 or 6 days into Colgate, and I was sent, after the initial initiation, I was sent to Calcutta, from where I was promptly dispatched to Siliguri, where I went with the salesman and, you know, trying to go shop to shop, trying to sell toothpaste.
Yes.
So there's one young, not young, pretty middle-aged gentleman who was sitting in the shop, obviously Bengali. He asked me in Bengali, "You look like a person from a respectable family, right? So what are you doing?"
Yes, what, tell us in Bengali.
I said that, "Bhadroke chile mone hocche," right? He said that, you know, from a respectable family. You know, toothpaste becho keno? Why are you selling toothpaste? Why are you selling toothpaste?
Ami jani thoda.
And then he said, "Ki porashona korecho? What have you studied?"
What have you?
So I said that, you know, I have studied chemical engineering in IIT Kharagpur, and then I went and did my MBA at XLRI. Suddenly the guy was stunned. So what it does is that, you know, any FMCG stint actually chips away all the chips in your shoulder, right? And, you know, it teaches you a lot of discipline also. And initial grounding was very hard, you know.
And it's also the grounding, right? Because
it's the grounding. You see real Bharat.
Yeah.
And I was transferred from Siliguri to Guwahati. And Guwahati, at this was peak of, it was a disturbed area, right? So it was again, sort of a great experience working there. So, you know, and then from Colgate, you know, in 2000, I shifted to Citi. And to a certain extent, I shifted to Citi Cards. And Citi, those I stayed in Citi for almost 6 years, 6.5 years. It was a great learning ground, because what it did was that it gave you a lot of freedom to do things and, you know, sort of fail and break. And so that's where I learned the ropes of banking, and then came to Deutsche Bank. So I always say that if Citi taught me the initial ropes of banking and how to distribution, etc., Deutsche Bank taught me compliance, control, structure, processes, you know, because sort of a German way of working, right? And while in Deutsche Bank, you know, I started managing parts of the business in India and China. So it started giving me a cross-cultural. So I used to manage a team in India, manage a team in China. So that, you know, and the leadership style in China is completely different from the leadership style in India. You have the argumentative Indian. And you have in China, you have the compliant execution-focused Chinese.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, you have to really switch your management style.
Switch in
management style. And that is why, you know, it's also very important that there's no one single management style. Right? You know, every situation demands a different management style.
That's true.
Right? And then, obviously, at the end of the global financial crisis, you know, Deutsche decided to sort of pare down their sort of retail asset portfolio in the country. So I landed in ICICI Bank in 2010. So in Citi, I was in a part of a well-run business. In Deutsche Bank, I set up the business from scratch. So amazing learning.
Yeah.
In ICICI Bank, when I came, ICICI Bank post-2010 was in a need of a rebuild.
Yes.
And trust me, it's easy to work in a well-run business. It is relatively easier to start a business from scratch.
Right.
But to fix a business that has gone through some trouble is the toughest of all.
Yeah.
Right, so the 12 years I spent in ICICI Bank was learning scale. ICICI Bank teaches you scale.
Scale.
So overall, I would say each of the organizations that I've worked in, right, for all of them, Colgate, Siri, Deutsche, ICICI, big names in themselves.
Yeah.
Each of them have been played a very formative part in my leadership journey. And I'm grateful to all of them.
Oh, no, I'm sure. I'm sure. And as they say, you know, crisis creates leaders. I think being part of some of these crises, building businesses or, you know, changing from where you were in ICICI just allows you to think, you know, you've seen a lot. So, you know, what more can happen? What bad can happen?
Yeah.
You know, you sort of build from
there. Yeah.
It's very true. So I think from that journey to now really lending to the real Bharat at L&T is again a very interesting pivot that you're making. And I'm very excited because, again, I believe if we fast forward the next 5 years, growth is in the real Bharat that we are lending to. So tell us about how you are thinking about lending to the Bharat of our times.
As L&T Finance as an organization, we are that unique sort of asset profile where we are 50% rural, 50% urban. Though in my previous jobs, I have mostly managed urban portfolios. Right. And this is probably the first time handling scale rural portfolios.
Yeah.
But, you know, fundamentally at the bottom level, fundamentals of lending remain the same. The customer is a little different. We are one of the largest in microfinance in the country.
Correct.
And, you know, after coming to L&T Finance, you know, I have had the chance of traveling extensively in rural India. And when you travel in rural India, you know, there are two things that hits you very starkly. South India is probably 10 years ahead of North India. Or probably I would say Northeast India.
Okay.
Right? What we are trying to do is that we have a lot of customers who are women. Right? And most of these women customers, especially on the microfinance side, have been making a journey with us, right? So they probably started small with the 35,000 loan, right? And then repaid it and taken another loan and, you know, now probably are in the fourth cycle, right? You know, for most of those customers, what we are trying to do is that we're trying to see if in their sort of, and many of them do small size businesses, you know, some kirana shop somewhere,
sure,
some animal husbandry, you know, and maybe a vegetable shop somewhere, etc. So we have seen some of those women grow along with us, right? So what we are trying to do right now is that also launch products, right, which probably are a little higher ticket size and help them in their particular growth journey as well.
Yeah.
It is very important to note that you also have to be a very, very responsible lender in the rural areas.
Yeah.
Because rural areas in by nature are very, very credit hungry.
Yes.
Right? And, you know, given a credit tap, if you turn on the tap very, very fast, you know, leverage builds up very fast.
Clearly.
Because they really do not know that this much and thus far further. They're not really very, very sophisticated borrowers.
Yeah.
They are becoming sophisticated. But as of now, I won't say that, you know, a large proportion of them are sophisticated borrowers.
Right.
And given the fact that there is always a little bit gap between what is needed and what is available in the rural areas, right, there is always that gap of liquidity which they're always trying to plug through borrowing.
Yeah.
So it's also very important for us to be a responsible lender. So what we are trying to do is now bring products and services which give them that required liquidity push or that liquidity in their hands, while on the other hand, balancing the risk-reward equation.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that they are not getting indebted too much, right? So that is what we are trying to do, right? And if you see our performance, especially in the last year, when the industry, microfinance industry, went through a little bit of an asset quality issue, our performance has been head and shoulders ahead of all others.
Yeah.
So for us, the mantra is rural lending, give what they want at the right time without leveraging the customer.
Got it. And Sudipta, if you leverage 4-5 years ahead and if you look at India of 2030, on one hand, you know, obviously the country will grow with the growth in GDP, etc. Plus, I think the population that will come in terms of borrowing financial services will be the Gen Zs of today.
That's right.
You know, as your organization will evolve to catering to the Gen Zs, or and just look at how India will borrow in the next 4-5 years differently.
See, I think majority of the borrowing is becoming digital. You know, I remember when I started my, you know, retail financial services journey, a large amount of the origination used to be through the direct sales channel.
Yeah.
The direct sales channel is still relevant today, you know, but the fact is that a large amount of the borrowing has moved moved online. A large amount of the borrowing has moved on demand. I believe that, you know, as the Gen Z comes up, right, couple of sort of lending slash asset classes will probably have more salience than over others. I think cards and payments, you know, we are about overall about 80-85 million cards today, right? Probably we'll get to about 100 million very soon, right? But the Gen Z also now, you know, wants to make sure that, you know, at least while they're paying, etc., you know, they maximize their payment and earn rewards, etc. So I see a lot of Gen Z customers very, very focused on what rewards that they get, you know.
True.
And so they are wanting to make their money work much, much harder. Or even when they borrow, trying to squeeze the last sort of juice out of that borrowing equation. They're very, very astute about what gives, what rates are available in the market.
Yeah.
Because information, thanks to the fintech revolution, is much, much more freely available.
That's true.
And they're more likely to go and seek a loan in a, one of the interesting features about, you know, Gen Z or Gen Alpha as they will come on, is that they trust tech platforms equally as they trust the sort of the brick and mortar banks.
That's true.
Right. So for them going to Google Pay or for them going to Cred or for them going to PhonePe and taking a loan from there is sort of similar as going in to a full stack bank or an NBFC.
That's true.
And taking a loan. So they're more likely to seek a loan digitally.
Yeah.
And last but not the least, they're more likely to seek service instantly. You know, in a generation that is built on the Swiggies and the Zomatos, right, where, you know, you're seeing your delivery coming, you know, you're used to tracking it. For a Gen Z to log a service request and being told that it will take 4 days for the financial services institution to come back, they just can't fathom it. But someone should give me minute-by-minute update, right?
I need the Amazon experience. Yeah.
So for them, they want the same e-commerce, quick commerce experience in financial services.
That's true.
And that is where most of the financial services organizations, though movement has been made, are still miles behind.
I agree.
In fact, in my organization, when I came in and I asked, what is that we commit our customers, how many days we'll get back? I'm not telling that it was mortifying. They said, we'll take X days to get back to you. I said, what's that?
Oh, you're right.
Right.
You are right.
And so progressively, we have been bringing it down.
Correct.
Right. But the fact is that, you know, Gen Z expects that I log in and my problem should be solved in the next 15 minutes.
Absolutely.
Right.
I think customer...
I apply for a loan, I should get the loan response within the next 15 minutes.
100%.
Right. So they want the same experience.
Correct.
And that is where financial services has to move to.
Correct. No, you're absolutely right. And this comes time and again. And like you said, customer experience, customer service is table stakes.
Correct.
At this stage.
Correct.
And everything will revolve around it. I mean, if I ask a provocative question, do you think cap tables might change for organizations that don't really focus on these parts, even
absolutely.
Large organizations?
Absolutely. And, you know, and I'll tell you a line, which I said in, L&T Finance completed 30 years this year. I normally speak extempore.
Yeah.
Right. But for this is the first time I wrote down my speech because I wanted to be very, very clear in what I say. And I once also wanted to be very, very focused on what I say. And I said very, very clearly that in the next decade, a lot of the existing winners will fall by the wayside. And a lot of new winners will be created, right, in the existing 10 to 15 years.
Yes.
Because we're again at an inflection point.
Yes.
Right. And given the fact that AI is moving at such a fast pace,
yes.
Right. And I'm sure you're following the trends. Transforming your image to Studio Ghibli style image is just like spread like wildfire.
Yes.
The AI world is moving very, very fast.
And the speed of adoption is
also... And the speed of adoption is very, very fast.
Correct.
Organizations that do not understand this And organizations do not change fast enough to use applicative AI in all their lines of work, right? Will fall behind. And as I say, a new set of winners will be created. And they will power ahead.
I'm glad you are saying this, because I'm hoping a lot of our Gen Z viewers who are viewing this understand that, you know, financial services is moving in that direction. Because, you know,
exactly.
What bothers me sometimes, Sudipta, is a lot of the younger folks
yeah.
who, you know, at our age, a lot of folks, when we were starting our careers, the top talent used to go to financial services.
Yes.
And now all of a sudden, you know, that top talent is got a sort of distributed between
yes.
financial services and e-commerce companies. And I think leaders like yourself are paving the way of how financial services are transforming themselves using tech and AI.
Yeah.
And that's where the top talent needs to be, you know. So I'll take the cue from that point, Sudipta. And I know you are a big proponent of tech and AI. You gave me a glimpse of what you did in CycleOps. But tell us again, just fast forward next 3-4 years, how do you think AI will transform financial services more specifically?
So finance will consume an incredible amount of engineering, right? And so there will, and finally, the products and services that will bring the financial services firms will bring to their customers will have a solid bedrock of engineering, you know, built on the latest tools.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, if you see AI, if I take the overall AI part, you know, Gen AI is one part. Machine learning is also
huge.
AI, yeah. Right. And the fact is that, you know, you have to use horses for courses.
Of course.
Right. So if you see in Cyclops, you know, in Cyclops, it is more of machine learning and less of AI.
Yeah.
But the fact is that which is our Gen AI based, which is our machine learning based create engine, 3-dimensional create engine. But the fact is that if you look at some of the tools that you're using in, you know, in AI, for example, in microfinance, auto attendance using face match, right? Using a deep learning algorithm that we used, right? I do believe that most organizations will have 3 buckets in which AI will be used or will be used. First in is in onboarding. How you can onboard in a far more foolproof fashion,
yeah.
Right? In fact, for example, one of the problems that we face in two-wheeler business, which is a very large business for us, is mules.
Hmm.
There are a lot of customers who come, they're not the end user of the bike.
Correct.
They're just lending their credit profile for someone else to pick up the bike. Now, what we are doing is that we are using very advanced machine learning to build an algorithm. Instantly, we call the algorithm the Shikhandi algorithm. That means, you know, putting someone in the front, right? And to identify mules.
Yeah.
And we are able to do that now to a 94% certainty level.
Fantastic.
Right? So, which is again, a very good outcome of using technology to solve a problem on the ground. In terms of, you know, our micro-loaning as property, we are using now Gen AI-based tools, right, to grade the quality of a dwelling. It goes and checks whether, you know, it has got exposed wiring or not. Is it a pakka house or a kaccha house?
Hmm.
You know, is it painted or non-painted?
Correct.
Right? It interior photographs it is able to decode
yeah.
and come up with the standard of living index.
Yes.
Which goes at a feed into the CRED algorithm.
Got it.
So, I believe that, you know, in origination you can use, in portfolio management you can use, in customer service you can use, right? And you can use in overall interaction layer
yeah.
with the customer. So it is in every sphere that you can use.
Absolutely.
Right? And the way your data systems are structured, the way your allied, you know, sort of, it requires a lot of pipes to flow. Right, and it requires a lot of streaming data flow as well.
Correct.
Right, so how they are structured and how you're able to manage the latency during all these processes to deliver a seamless user experience will define the winners and the losers from tomorrow. The bedrock principles of financial services will still
remain the same.
Remain the same.
Yeah.
But the delivery mechanism will become completely technology driven.
Seamless, right? Invisible, as much as possible. Yeah, and you know, I call it the agentic mesh, because all these agents that you're building,
that's right,
will automatically over a period of time start becoming so expert. So you're almost building like various chefs in the kitchen. One chef is very good at frying, other chef is very good at cutting.
Yes.
And then you are building this data layer, which is like a mesh.
Yeah.
And the journey will move in such a seamless manner that from product exploration to onboarding to underwriting to servicing, you almost see AI architecting that entire journey in a very, very serious
way. I'll give you a good example. For example, our first agentic AI bot, we call it Kai, which is knowledgeable AI. Right. So we build it for our mortgage business because we felt that, you know, mortgage normal chatbots are very generic.
Hmm.
You go there, they will regurgitate, you know, some templated answers. You know, in 30 seconds, you feel bored. Kai is able to meaningfully interact with you. It's able to do bilingual. So from suddenly or English, you convert to English, it is able to pick up English.
Absolutely.
And if you say, you know, I want to borrow so-and-so and I want to repay, and complex problems.
Correct.
I want to prepay X amount and then, you know, and then what will be my EMI or give you simulation from my EMI. It instantly gives everything.
Does it on the fly.
And to some extent, what has happened is that for people who come and use Kai to get some of their questions answered, invariably end up applying for an L&T Finance loan at the end.
Fantastic.
Right. So it has got turbocharged our lead generation from our digital platforms.
Yeah. This is signs of times to come, but this is fantastic what you're already doing. So if I had to ask you that if there was a leader or a person that you would want to follow for a week or mirror or watch, who would that be and why?
I really admire Elon Musk.
I'm sure.
I have been following him for the last 6 to 8 years.
Mm.
If you go to YouTube and if you see this 3-part series of Everyday Astronaut, where Elon takes the guy who runs this channel, Everyday Astronaut, through the tour of Starbase in Texas, right? And talks about his philosophy of building SpaceX. And, you know, one of the first things which I showed, he whatever money he made from the sale of PayPal, or whatever money he got from PayPal, right? He put a lot of, put a part in Tesla, he put a part in SpaceX. And SpaceX, you know, he was one launch away from, you know, the very iconic photo. I don't know whether you have seen that photo. They launched off an island and the entire rocket crashed. So to do the analysis as to why it crashed, they assembled the parts of the rocket in a shed. And Musk is sitting like on his haunches and sitting there and looking at the parts of the rocket. And this is when you are inches away from bankruptcy, literally.
Yeah.
Right? And from there to the concept of rapid reusability, you know, and if you see the nerd in me will come out, right? And you will see how the Raptor engine has gone through its iterations and how it has become, you know, simpler over time.
Right.
How the vacuum Merlin engines have, you know, progressed, right? And how, you know, the Starship, right? They have, you know, sort of iterated the design of the Starship to now the Mechazilla catching the star. See, when first he said, you know, 4 years back that we'll have a Mechazilla catch the Starship. That's
for everybody.
You know, I said, you know, this is nonsense.
Yes, everybody.
It is nonsense. But the fact is that you've done it.
You did it.
They have done it.
Absolutely.
So look, and in that Everyday Astronaut 3-part series, he tells his management philosophies.
Mm.
Iterate fast, fail fast, cut your losses and move on. Right? And there are several of them.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
And so on, at the end of the day, you know, and plus he's a person who works 24/7.
That's true.
The story is that he used to sleep beneath the table in the Tesla factory, right, when they were having troubles in scaling up production. He slept for 1 year, right, beneath his office table, right, and that's what he did. Either he used to sleep on the roof or sleep beneath the table. That's true. Which also means that, and this is my definition of, people say, you know, have the word, you know, chief executive officer is, CEO is chief executive officer. I say that that day of chief executive officer, which is like a mythical being, you know, sitting in a corner office, you know, who, you know, like, you know, a fairy tale comes and shows his face at times when the window opens, right? Those days are over.
That's gone.
The CEO is defined now as chief execution officer.
That's true.
Right?
Excellence doesn't come, you know.
Bas, Newton bol ke gaya hai. Sorry, Newton, Edison. 99% perspiration, 1%
inspiration.
Right?
That's true.
Bol ke gaya hai na?
Right.
So, वही है.
वही है.
99% perspiration है. Oh, 1% inspiration.
कोई compromise ही नहीं.
कोई compromise ही नहीं है.
What is your advice to some of the younger folks?
You know, slowly practice the art of detachment.
Mm.
Right? So, previously I used to carry work home, you know, I used to brood, ye, wo, you know. जिसको बोलते हैं ना हिंदी में दिल पे ले लेता था.
You know, be focused, but don't be consumed.
Right? Be focused, but don't be consumed.
Mm.
You know, our ancient texts have told us long time back that do the task.
Karm karo, phal ki chinta mat karo.
Karm karo, phal ki chinta mat karo. Right? It is like, I don't know, 48 karat gold philosophy.
So true.
Right?
So true.
So if you are detached, then, you know, you do not have that much of stress. Last thing is, get out of office and switch off. Have a very strong hobby or a personal pursuit.
That's true.
I have a very strong hobby and a personal pursuit. I can come out of a very grueling board meeting where things might have gone either or sideways.
Yeah.
I'll go home. I'll open my computer. I'll open my photography editing tool and I'm completely switched off.
I'm going to go to our second segment. I can actually go on and on, but the second segment is what we call as flash finesse. It's questions and answers in a flash.
Okay.
Our take on the rapid fire and give us whatever answers that come to your mind. One word that sort of describes your leadership style.
I would say enabling.
One habit you swear by to peak your productivity.
Discipline.
A mistake you're glad you made.
I originally thought leaving FMCG would be a mistake. But it was probably the best thing that I would have.
Yeah. Good learning, but...
Good learning.
But...
Yeah.
Paperback or ebook?
Paperback. The feel of having a physical book in the hand, you know, nothing can beat it.
Hills or beaches?
Hills.
Hills.
Yes, but though I like beaches as well. Right? But, you know, given a preference, hills.
Okay. Fine dine or street food?
Actually, both.
Both.
Actually, both. Both of them have their nuances.
You cook?
I cook a bit.
It's good therapy?
It's good therapy.
It is for me as well. AI-driven decisions or human expertise?
Horses for courses. Difficult, nuanced, moral dilemma handling, human expertise. Rote, brute force processing and decision making that does not have moral overhang.
Big picture or the fine details?
Actually, both. You need to see the big picture, but you should have the capability to zoom in when needed.
Zoom in when needed.
So, actually, both.
Do you watch a lot of movies at all?
As a genre, I really love sci-fi.
Sci-fi?
So, Denis Villeneuve is my favorite director. And in fact, I think the original Ridley Scott Blade Runner film was one of my favorite films.
Do you get time for friends or you know, over the weekends?
I have a very strong friend network. Right? And because I do believe is that, you know, and this is very important, right? Everyone that you meet in your life, barring your family, on friends have probably some sort of agenda.
Yeah.
Right? It is only your friends that give you free, unfiltered feedback.
Feedback. Yeah.
Right?
They don't care.
So if you really want to know what's going wrong, if you really want to know what are you doing wrong, right? If you really want good advice without any agenda, it is friends.
Absolutely.
And we have a ritual now. About 8 or 10 of our school friends meet 4 days every year. Some of your old friendship actually keep you much more, I would say, grounded and give you that sort of touch with the past.
Absolutely.
Right? And it's at the end of the day, you know, finally, you really, when you are with friends, you are not looking over your shoulders. When you are always in corporate life, you're always looking over your shoulder.
Lovely to know you. On a parting note, whatever you please, but your life in a hashtag or in a movie title or in a song, whatever that inspires you, on a closing note.
Tough one again in our movie. So hashtag would be Hashtag would be creative energy.
Creative energy. Interesting. You are creative and lots of energy for sure. Sudipta, thank you so much for spending time with us. It's lovely to know various facets of your life. And I'm sure the viewers will enjoy this a lot more. Thank you again.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to have a conversation.
Thank you for hosting us at your lovely office.
Thank you.